Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's Know Your Foe. We're looking at the Los Angeles Rams coming in to face the Ravens this Sunday, a game the Ravens are heavy underdogs in. Joining us to talk about the Rams is Jake Ellenbogen. Jake, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Ken. Glad to be here again. Nice to see you again, and I'm excited.
All right. Well, great to have you back, Jake. So let's start with the Rams offseason a little bit, and tell us what happened in terms of the significant personnel moves during the offseason, but also the draft.
Yeah, certainly. The Rams came into this offseason knowing that they had an issue stopping the run. So they went out and they felt they had to make an upgrade, and they go out and get Puna Ford for the defensive line. And they also added linebacker Nate Landman, who is one of their starters. And they also went out and they improved. They love Cooper Kupp dearly, but they felt like they needed to make an upgrade. At this point in his career, he's not the same player. So they went out and got Devontae Adams. And the draft was really about finding key players for the future. I don't really feel like they drafted for the here and now, but they have guys that are getting involved slowly but surely. A big one is Josiah Stewart, the outside linebacker, who was a third-round pick out of Michigan.
Great. Maybe take us through maybe who Matthew Stafford is today after things have changed, obviously, for him a lot. He's gotten a lot older now, no longer the kid who ran in to save the game for the Lions in that 2-9 season that they were going through a number of years ago when he was – I still love the way they did that. I think this was on the condensed replay. They did it. Go ahead, tell the story. I don't want to tell it for you.
Yeah, I mean, he tries to jump over the pile, doesn't get there, and then he just runs it in and just spikes it. Went to the side and spiked it. And, of course, the one that everybody remembers where his shoulder detached and somehow was able to throw a touchdown and barely got off the field. He's incredible. And to answer your question, I mean, Matthew Stafford is just so bizarre to me, because just when you think, oh, he's starting to get up there in age, this is the best he's looked as a Ram. He right now should be considered the favorite to win the MVP. He's leading all PFF in terms of big time throws. And when you watch the film, you see what they're seeing. I don't always agree with PFF, but I can tell you right now, Matthew Stafford on tape is delivering the football. And he's getting rid of it quicker than he ever has. And this, you know, pass protection is probably not the best that he's been around. It's definitely struggled. There's been injuries up front. So, yeah, Stafford doesn't have the mobility anymore. That's one thing. But, man, he can put it anywhere on the field at any given time. And he's looked sensational.
You got 11 carries this year for minus 4 yards. If you're looking for Lamar Jackson's replacement, he's not the guy. He's now 37 years old. Is it 37 currently? Yep, 37 currently. How long is he still signed for the Rams?
It's a little interesting. So I guess he signed technically for another 2 years, but they're just going to go year by year. I got to be honest with you, Ken. I think next year's it. I think he wants to retire on top. I think they want to just go out. They believe they're going to win a Super Bowl either this year or next year. Stafford obviously thinks he can win a Super Bowl this year and next year. So it's always really felt like it's the next 2 years. He's expressed playing until he's 40, but I just think he's got four daughters. I think he's ready to be a father, and he's ready to finish on a high note.
All right. Take us through the offensive line from left to right, if you would.
Yeah, so from left to right, you got Alaric Jackson, left tackle, really good. Unfortunately, you know, he dealt with blood clots in the offseason, so he's not quite where he should be. I think he'll be, you know, back to Alaric Jackson the second half of the season, but he's been pretty good, and he's definitely been their best. Left guard, really interesting here. It's been kind of just shuffling in and out. They've gone from Bo Limmer, they've gone from Justin Dedish, and now they're back to Steve Avila. It sounds like their starting left guard will return after missing every game since week one against the Texans. At center is Coleman Shelton, which is another bizarre one because they ended up moving on from him and went to Jonah Jackson last year, then traded Jonah Jackson to where he came from and then signed back Coleman Shelton. Has good rapport with Matthew Stafford. not a mauler by any stretch, but more of like a tactician type of center, can move well. And then right guard, you got Kevin Dotson, who's an absolute baller in the run game. But the problem with Dotson is he's struggling to protect the quarterback this year. On another clip, I mean, we haven't really seen him struggle this much. He's also been dealing with an ankle. That probably has something to do with it. And then last week, they had Warren McClendon Jr. at right tackle, filling in for Rob Havenstein. Rob Havenstein, we don't know if he's going to play or not, but he has been the right tackle up until, you know, the Thursday night game, and he struggled too. You're starting to see the age for him is at 33. He looks a lot older than Stafford does at 37.
He's a mammoth human being at 6'8", 330, but definitely not having the kind of year that you might expect this year. Let's move over to the skill position players. You start in the backfield, if you like, with the running backs. Now, I know Williams had been a pretty darn good back in his game against the Ravens in particular. A couple of years ago, one of the things the Ravens remember is the Rams driving right up the field on that first drive, running the ball 9 straight times, I think it was.
It was, yeah.
And then they threw the ball away, right, at the end?
Yeah, yeah, that was frustrating. That game was incredible. Game of the year, I think. I mean, it goes to overtime and everything, but Kyren Williams is very good. Right now, I think anyone in Rams land is talking about the ball security, fumbling at the 1 yard line against the 49ers on a run to pretty much put him away and win that game. That is very frustrating. But this is a guy that they haven't really gotten, you know, involved in the passing game with. And this past week, they did. So I think they might have found something here they're going to continue to go to. And Kyren is so key and critical in pass pro. And like I was just saying, I mean, the offensive line hasn't exactly been protecting Stafford well. So he's really key and critical there. Then you have Blake Corum. He also had a fumble, dropped a toss play to the right. Can't have that. But, you know, he's shown some things where, you know, he can kind of complement Kyren well. They have the rookie. I don't think you're going to see him. No one's seen him to this point. Jarquez Hunter out of Auburn. He's the home run hitter, but you can't hit home runs if you're constantly inactive. So that is the running back room.
Going back to Williams for a second, one thing I'm noticing is he only got 4.5 yards per carry this year, which I normally would never expect this kind of a success rate. But his success rate is 62.2%, which is higher than where Derrick Henry was last year at 58.8%. To lead the NFL or to lead. No, actually, Bijan Robinson led the league, didn't he? But anyway, 62%, very unusual for a running back to reach that kind of height, and especially in 82 carries. It's not a trivial number of carries.
Yeah, I think really his biggest thing is he's not going to hit you with a 50-yard run, and that is a concern with Rams fans. Obviously, they'd love to see him be Saquon. I always say Saquons don't grow on trees. But what you're getting with Kyren is somebody that is going to limit those negative runs. The Rams have one of the fewest numbers in negative runs in the league, and that is because Kyren Williams sees and he hits the hole, and he doesn't stutter and dance around in the backfield. And that's something the Rams really value in his game.
All right. Let's talk about the other receivers, tight ends and wide receivers. Do them in whatever order you like.
Yeah, so wide receiver, Puka Nacua, you guys saw him wearing the no gloves look, and you know, it was rainy in Baltimore, and he goes and he makes that crazy diving catch. That is Puka Nacua. We had a feeling he was something special in 2023. I don't think we knew he was this special. I think Nacua is one of the best players in the NFL, not just receivers. So you're getting a guy that at any given time, Stafford needs a first down, you can rely on him. He also is masquerading as a tight end because of how good he's able to block, that they've been able to stay in 11 personnel and kind of have what they believe are two tight ends out there. So they've been able to run with that. They've been able to throw with that. Then you have Davante Adams. Because Puka Nacua is so talented in between the numbers, Davante Adams being a true X receiver that can really test the number one corner on the team, it's opened things up underneath. And so Davante Adams has done a nice job. He has also been blanketed in coverage. He's doing his thing. He's getting double teamed. He's doing pretty much, he's been a sacrificial lamb, and yet he's still finding the end zone. He's still getting 80 yards and what have you. But Davante Adams is one of those guys. I mean, he's been doing it for a long time. He could break out at any given moment. And speaking of that type of player, Tutu Atwell, you know, he's a guy that could have one catch for 1 yard and then come back and hit you with an 88-yard touchdown like he did against the Colts to win that game. So Atwell is their deep threat. He's the one when you need a big time play, you're going to go to Tutu Atwell. He can block despite the fact he's 5'9 and a buck 65. But yeah, he's one of those guys for sure that you got to be looking at.
Let's go back for a moment to Devontae Adams, because Devontae Adams is almost 33 now, and DeAndre Hopkins is 33. DeAndre Hopkins leading the entire NFL. He only got 9 targets, but he's leading the entire NFL in yards per target at 17.6, which is still an extraordinary number. I see that Adams is slightly under 8 yards per target right now. And a lot of that may come from the fact that he's only 4 of 14 on contested balls. Has that been a problem that you've noticed, or has it been something that there's a lot of contested targets, but they're really trying to bail out Stafford on those plays?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, yeah, Stafford is just trying to give him a chance to make a play. You know, it's not that much of a concern. You don't want to see them force feed a target that isn't available. And I feel like they did that early on, and partly because this is Sean McVay. Sean McVay is akin to candy store, knowing he's got Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams on his team with Matthew Stafford delivering the rock. So I think he got a little too trigger happy on that one. But, you know, over the last couple weeks, I feel like he's dialed it back a little bit more, spread the ball around, and I don't feel like that's been a huge issue. But getting Atwell involved in the Colts game and then getting him involved in the 49er game was really telling. And then Jordan Whittington's another guy you got to pay attention to, because he reminds me a little bit of Deebo Samuel, you know, kind of a gadget guy, like a running back with the ball in his hands. They haven't really gotten him involved yet, but like those little instances where they have been some explosive plays. And he's also a returner. He had a 74-yard return that was taken away against the Texans. So he's explosive. He's another player to look out for. And then the tight ends, they haven't really been able to get the tight ends going. I know it's kind of weird because it's Sean McVay. Tight ends are so key and critical to what you're trying to do in that offense. And McVay is a former tight ends coach, but Tyler Higbee's been dealing with an injury. He actually didn't even play today. He didn't practice today. Colby Parkinson is dealing with a concussion. He's in the concussion protocol. Davis Allen had a nice game against the Ravens. I think it was 4 catches, 50 yards, and a touchdown the last time he saw them. But I'm really curious because Terrence Ferguson finally got involved, their second round pick that they said they would have drafted him 26th overall if they didn't trade down with the Falcons. Ferguson's a guy that they keep oohing and eyeing over. They've talked about him in the light of a young Travis Kelce, a Chris Cooley. I'm more, you know, show me, don't tell me type of guy. And we finally got a chance to see him catch his first NFL pass. Looked good. It was a contested catch on a fade ball, 21 yards against the 49ers. We'll see if he's continued to be utilized. I think we'll see him a little bit this week, but that's what you're getting with those weapons.
All right. So very unusual to see a team that has 173 total targets and only 23 of them have gone to the tight end.
Yeah.
Which is one of the things I definitely want to ask about, but you kind of hit on it already. Well, tell me about some of the common plays and formations that we can expect to see from the Rams on Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, the Rams really have been operating in shotgun. Stafford has been operating in shotgun, the 11 personnel sets, I'm seeing a lot of motion as well. You know, so they're trying to get Atwell in motion. They're trying to get Whittington. They're trying to, you know, find those matchups. And that's really what they've been doing. They haven't been running out of shotgun as much. I cannot stand when they do that. Not really any pistol this year. They used to run pistol quite a bit. It's really been shotgun. And, you know, they've had a single back, you know, kind of under center type of look. But yeah, they really tried to get this 12 personnel working and they wanted to commit to it. And they ran at the 11th highest clip in the NFL to start the season. And it seems like lately they're dialing it back now. And I feel like they kind of do this every year, but at the opposite, when later on in the year, they try to get more 12 personnel and they go away from the 11. The Rams are one of those teams that they have a lot of talent and Sean McVay, you know, can be a great play caller. But they can also kind of mess around and almost self-sabotage. So we'll see what they come out with. But, you know, lately it feels like they're kind of going away from the initial plan of going more 12 personnel.
Yeah, speaking of, you know, tough losses, obviously, and the Ravens have had their share this year in terms of, well, more than their share. Ravens fans are at a boiling point in terms of what's going on with the organization right now. But the Rams just suffered a very tough loss to the 49ers in a game where the 49ers were playing with a lot of players out. What's the is there a reaction to that, that the Rams have really shown, or do you think they're just getting right up off the canvas and playing the next game?
Oh, they were furious. I was told this is a different reaction than anything that they've had. And I get that. You know, they hate the Niners. That is, you know, one of their rivals. That is their biggest rival. To do that on their field on a short week on Thursday night with all those guys out. And yeah, I think the thing about that one is that it bothers them so much because they know they come away with, they know they're the better team and they know their offense dominated their defense, but their offense also turned the ball over twice. You know, it's one of those things where this actually could have been a multi-score win for the Rams, and they just kind of shot themselves in the foot. And that's kind of been the issue. That was the issue in the second half against the Eagles, because they absolutely dominated the Eagles in the first half and they still should have won the game. But when you shoot yourselves in the foot in the NFL, now you're getting a bunch of different variables that can come into effect, and you're not really guaranteeing a win, whereas the only way you can guarantee a win and you control your own destiny.
Every day, companies you've never heard of are making millions off your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records on the internet, then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace built on your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. Aura removes your personal data from broker sites and keeps it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal system. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your online life. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager for safer logins, and spam call protection to shut down scammers. Aura scans the dark web for your most sensitive information and notifies you instantly if anything is exposed. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 billion in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other service charges about the same, but only cover one or two areas. Aura gives you everything: data broker removal, identity and credit monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all in one simple app. Aura removes what's already exposed, protects what's not, and puts you back in control. Go to aura.com/remove for complete digital protection and peace of mind. That's aura.com/remove.
Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game, Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies, 100% federally legal THC blends, discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with the promo code Ravens. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to Mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code Ravens at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
If weight management is one of your New Year goals, Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier can help. This science-backed formula supports metabolic balance, curbs cravings, and promotes healthy blood sugar levels, making it easier to stay consistent and in control. It helps give your body the boost it needs to keep you on track. Feel confident and energized this year with Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Is if you just come out and you just step, you know, you step right on their neck and you don't let your foot off the gas. And I feel like the Rams didn't even get a chance to do that because they shot themselves in the foot from the get-go in that game where they were playing catch-up the whole time.
All right. Let's move over to the defense if we can. The first thing I always like to ask is, on obvious passing downs, what is their favorite package they put in? Are they committed nickel team? Do they play a dime? How do they line up? What do they like to do?
Yeah, so typically they're going to play in the nickel. Quentin Lake is going to be that nickel they call the star. So that's where Quentin Lake will be. I know everybody kind of assumes he's a safety, and he is, but he's been playing that nickel role all year, and he's become a star at that position. You're going to get likely Darius Williams on the outside, who the Rams stole from the Ravens years ago.
Yeah.
And then Kobe Durant. Now, they've been kind of trying to make Emmanuel Forbes work out, and so you'll probably see him about 15 snaps in this game on the outside. But that has really been the secondary. Then you have Cam Kitchens and you have Cam Curl in the secondary. Now, what they'll do in dime is they'll bring in Jalen McCullough, who is a safety UDFA out of Tennessee who had 4 or 5 picks last year. And they just really like just his instincts. So he's had a decently big role. He could also come in, you know, on those blitz packages and what have you. And then up front, obviously, you're going to have a Jared Verse. You're going to have a Byron Young. They've been really, especially in the interior with, you know, a Kobe Turner, Braden Fisk, and Puna Ford, like I mentioned earlier, they have been kind of, you know, filtering these guys in. They've had, you know, Tyler Davis playing a decent amount of snaps as well, kind of rotating in and there. The linebackers, you know, in their base formation, which they do run a decent amount, you're going to see because Omar Spates is dealing with a high ankle sprain. Sean McVay just confirmed before we went on here that we're going to see Troy Reader, who's a longtime veteran, and the UDFA out of Buffalo, who should have been drafted, by the way, Sean Dolak, are going to split time this week playing alongside Nate Landman, who I mentioned earlier. So that's typically what you're going to get in base. And obviously, when you're not in base, it's going to be Landman out there, and then you're going to see you know, Quentin Lake you know, in that nickel role.
Let's go back to Emmanuel Forbes for a second. Definitely a favorite of mine coming out in the draft. And same I've been here. Right on some. I've been wrong on some. But that was a guy I really was hoping the Ravens would get. I think the Ravens were really hoping they got him too. And he went to Washington, and he kind of proved why some other teams passed on him. Obviously, the size was not sufficient. I see he leads the Rams in missed tackles in a relatively not full-time role this year. Talk about physically being up to the job for Emmanuel Forbes.
Well, I can tell you right now, they're missing Akello Witherspoon, that's secondary. But when it comes to Emmanuel Forbes, he's probably, if not the most talented in the secondary, he's the second most raw talent. But I just don't feel like he has it mentally right now in his career. He's still learning. I feel like the game's a little fast for him. Like, he can still make some plays. He's still a solid player. But on a Super Bowl team, which I believe this team is, I don't think he should be starting. And I think the Rams, he came out, he was starting next to Akello Witherspoon. And I think there was a you know, a comfortability there playing opposite of Akello, where he felt like you could see he looked like a different corner. And right now, it almost feels like now the spotlight's on him a little bit. And when he's out there, you know, you're going to see number one get targeted quite a bit, and teams are picking on him. And I think the biggest thing is you look at the Eagles game, you look at the 49ers game, you mention it, the missed tackles. It's not that he can't do it. He's not just an ankle biter. The issue I'm seeing is that when he gives up a catch, he's trying to rip the ball out every time. And you got to just try and, you know, have a form tackle, establish that, bring the man down. A.J. Brown, you can't try and tackle him up top because he's too strong, you know, both the lower half and the upper half to bring him down. But when you go after the ball, now he's repositioning himself. He can run after that. So that's really been Forbes' issue, I would say.
All right. Perfect passer rating throwing at Forbes so far this season for opposing quarterbacks. So obviously not ideal for him. This is his third year in the league. It's surprising to me how far he's fallen from what everybody expected him to be in the draft.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with his play style. You fall in love with the ball hawking ability. And when you get punched in the mouth, when you get to the NFL, and he had his welcome to the NFL moment, he gave up over 150 yards to A.J. Brown, man to man. And I feel like there's something in him where he can't play at 100%. He can't play. He can't be that aggressive guy because he doesn't want to make a mistake. And he's still making mistakes, but it's like you're just not seeing that aggression that you saw in college. Because, I mean, he had like, what, 13 pick sixes? Or it was something crazy.
Yeah.
You don't see that anymore. And you see a player that is incredibly athletic, incredibly gifted, and just feels like he's mentally drowning in a glass of water.
All right. That is that's tough to hear. Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, obviously in 2019, the Ravens traded Marcus Williams the Rams traded Marcus Williams to Marcus Peters.
I'll get this correct.
And, you know, it's not like Kenny Young was a terrible player or anything. He played decently for the Rams, I think you'd say, during the time he was there. Peters was just all pro immediately as soon as he came to the Ravens. And the thought was that Peters was completely done. And I'm wondering, is it possible there's anything about what the Rams are asking him to do that another team can fix?
I mean, I think the problem is the Rams have already fixed a lot of the issues that he was having. Like, as much as he's struggling, he's still way better than he was in Washington. And that's what I keep hearing. Like, that's why Sean McVay coming in this year said, we have four starting corners. And that's why Forbes got the start week one. And I think you could see Forbes in week one looked like a starting corner. And I just feel like, I don't know, for whatever reason, when Akello got hurt in week two, early on in that game against the Titans, he just wasn't the same player. And I know, like, Akello's a leader in the back end of that secondary. He might not have the C patch on, but they are missing him in that secondary, and that could have something to do with it.
All right. All right, enough about the secondary. Let's move it up to the defensive line in terms of who's there. Now, one of the things that really... Yes, me. Rams still play a 4-3, right? As opposed to a 3-4.
So they play a 3-4, but you know they also play multiple. But I would say their base is a 3-4.
Okay, so most of the time, then Young and Verse are stand up pass rushers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and those two I've been noticing have played over 80% of the snaps each of them, which is unusually high for an outside linebacker in today's NFL.
Yeah, they want them on the field as much as they can. And obviously they had Michael Hoyt last year. I thought he did a really nice job as that third guy, but now relying on the rookie, I think we can see slowly but surely 15 snaps becomes 20 and then 20 becomes eventually 35. Like, I feel like they're just trying to get Josiah Stewart ready. I think he's already ready, but I don't think they want to throw him in the fire just yet. So I would expect them to take advantage of that down the road in the second half of the year. I think you're going to start to see, you're going to start to see a Verse and a Young in their snap count. It's going to go down a little bit.
Okay. Probably a good thing. The rest of the line, you want to talk about the interior guys?
Yeah, so Braden Fisk hasn't looked like Braden Fisk. You know, a lot of people don't realize because he never missed a game. When he had the injury, he had a really bad injury to his knee against the Eagles in that divisional round game. He comes back, and it's almost like a blessing and a curse because it's like, yeah, he didn't miss time, but now like the fan base is expecting him to just be 100% when he comes back because he didn't miss time. And that was a lot of rehabbing during the offseason. He's starting to get back to where he is. I thought he had a decent game. Kobe Turner's the leader in that middle. He's really good. And Puna Ford is just Penn. He's been so good against the run. And that's why the Rams have really just been stifling, you know, rushing attacks. I mean, the most that they've allowed, I think, was to Tony Pollard. I think he got up to 90. You look at Saquon Barkley, shut him down, 2.8 yards per carry. Or 2.7, I believe. Christian McCaffrey, 2.8 yards per carry. I don't think McCaffrey's there anymore. I think he's just receiving back at this point. But the point stands is that the Rams' defensive line, their biggest issue last year, the thing that everybody was talking about that sent them home and cost them a Super Bowl was that run game, right? And I think they've done a nice job of repairing that. And like I said, Puna Ford is a big reason for that. So it'll be interesting against Derrick Henry for sure.
Nine defensive wins for Puna Ford so far this year. He doesn't have a whole lot. He only has about 14 tackles, but that's a good number anyway for a relatively small number of run snaps in total. So he's obviously a high-end contributor. Take us off ball for a moment. Talk about guys who line up in level two.
Yeah. Looking at Landman, I think Nate Landman is a player that when he was on Atlanta, kind of underrated. I had highlighted him as an option for the Rams last year, funny enough. And then they end up going out and getting him. Just like one of those, you can find him every year, you know. It's a veteran that, you know, isn't super old, is kind of, you know, 26 to 28 year old range. And these guys are just, they're a dime a dozen, it feels like. But sometimes you find a gem, and I feel like they have one here in Landman. Can play the run very well. He's the one that's always trying to punch the ball out. He very much won them the game against the Texans, punching the ball out of Dare Ogunbowale on that final drive. But he's been so key, and he's also been really good in coverage. Now, his stats are going to look terrible after the 49er game, but the problem is they kind of just left him in the middle there, and he had to defend. You know, what we saw with Kendrick Bourne, he was basically covering a receiver the whole time, and he's not like an upper echelon coverage linebacker. He's a guy that is a really good all-around player and is improving as a coverage guy. He's not amazing there, but he's shown significant strides this year in that aspect.
Okay, remarkable year for Landman so far with 10 defensive wins and only one missed tackle. Draft time, I always point to that statistic, and guys who are at about 5-1 or more are really exceptional, particularly at the inside linebacker spot I'm talking about. So Landman has been very good. They got him from Atlanta. I don't remember him playing there, but I don't watch a lot of Falcons football, honestly.
Yeah, he was there with Ellis, Caden Ellis, and then he got hurt, I think. No, it was Troy Anderson who got hurt. He took over for Troy Anderson. Then I think Troy Anderson got healthy, and then Landman lost his role, and so they let him go in free agency.
He was gone after only 3 years, so he went as a UFA they didn't tender him or something, and the Rams signed him?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's kind of odd. All right. The Ravens don't really have their offensive weapons for this game, so normally I would ask you a question about how are they going to defend Lamar Jackson and how are they going to defend Derrick Henry, but honestly, without Jackson, everybody is lessened in this Ravens offense. Instead, why don't you tell me what most people do is, who is the one player on each side of the football you think matches up really well against the Ravens personnel?
Yeah. Well, I would say, you know, when you look at the tight end room, and Mark Andrews is going to be key in this one. I think Quentin Lake is going to be huge in that matchup. I think he's going to be huge. So that, I would say, Lake's like the poor man's version of your safety, who's incredible, Kyle Hamilton. Yep. That's kind of what I see, and I don't mean that as a disrespect to Lake at all, but I mean, Kyle Hamilton, I think, is just a class above most players in the league. And then I would probably say, I mean, it's kind of hard, but I mean, Nacua against anybody. I just think that essentially that's your get out of jail free card. If you can't get anything going on your offense, you know, Nacua can come through. If there's a 3rd and 8 and you got pressure, you know, you just know you can go and look for Nacua as soon as you feel the pressure coming, and he's going to come down with it. He's been so important to this team. He leads the league in receiving. He's on pace to have more yards than Calvin Johnson and Cooper Kupp had with Matthew Stafford. There you go. He's the Cooper Kupp, Calvin to Stafford. That's who that's his guy. So that's what I would say there.
All right. All right. Good choices, Jake. Always a pleasure to get to talk football with you, even if it's for only a half an hour here. Tell folks where they can find your work or contact you online if they have a question about the LA Rams.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, Ken. This is fun. You guys can follow me at JK Bogan on Twitter. And then basically it's at JK Bogan on all social media. My DMs are always open if you have any questions. And I'm on YouTube, Jake Ellenbogen. I also do an NFL show called Off the Edge with former NFL linebacker, Rams and Buccaneers linebacker Cameron Lynch. And I don't know why, but if there happens to be any Yankee fans out there, I do a Yankee show called Yankees Unloaded. That's all I got.
Not in Ravens land, I can tell you that. But no, there's probably a few, actually. Other folks out there, thanks very much, Jake. That's great. Other folks out there, the bye week is coming up. Hit me up if you have an idea for a film study short that you want to do. It's your opportunity to treat the show kind of like a call-in radio show where you get to do a 20-minute show with me talking about something that you're very passionate about regarding the Baltimore Ravens, and I'd love to hear from you. Jake, thanks again for coming on.
Of course. Happy to be here.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.